Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to say thank you so much. We are a very blessed people, and you have given us so much. Let's just take a moment just to say thank you and just show our appreciation to you, Lord, for all the gifts that you have given us. We thank you for being able to come together and worship you in unity, in spirit, and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. If you're a guest with us this morning, let me just say that we are so glad that you're here and thank you for joining us today. We are in week 4 of our series, Prayer Is, because many times we're confused as to exactly what prayer is. Prayer is what? So we're seeking to answer that question as we continue through this series, and today's topic is about praying for others. I really hope that you're getting a lot out of the prayer devotion books that we gave you. And please, feel free to give us feedback. We would love to hear how this series is impacting your life. Maybe hear about some prayer stories. We would love to hear about that. And we really hope that God is moving you to pray. So please continue to pray for our church, to pray for our community. But more than anything, we want you to be excited about your relationship with Jesus Christ and excited about prayer. But sometimes it's really hard to get excited about prayer, isn't it? We have busy lives. I mean, many times we've got something going on every night of the week. And, I mean, sometimes we have events that are stacked in between events. I mean, man, I work 40-plus hours a week. I get off work. I have to run my child to this event. And as soon as I drop that child off, I have to run over to the store, pick up a few things. I then have to rush those things home just to pick up my other child and then run them to this event. And then as soon as I get done dropping them off, I have to run back and pick up the first child, usually arriving a few minutes late. And we have to have dinner in there somewhere, right? I mean, we're busy. We are a busy people. And in order to make room in my schedule, what's the first thing that usually goes? My relationships. Hey, I'm short on time. It's just out of convenience. Prayer is about a relationship, but investing in relationships is often inconvenient. I mean, but we have the best intentions, though, right? How many times have we told somebody, hey, I can't talk right now. Let me call you right back. Or how many times have we meant to do an activity with someone, like maybe our spouse, our children, or maybe a really close friend or relative? Or how many times have we meant to do this, meant to do that, or something else with someone, and we just don't get around to it? We have the best intentions, but life is sometimes, forgive the expression, but life is sometimes like a rabid dog that grabs us before sunrise and won't let go of us until way after sundown. And by then, we're exhausted. It's time for bed. And we got to get up and do it again the next day. Investing in relationships is often inconvenient. And if prayer is about a relationship and we're not investing in our relationship with God, we're not investing in our relationship with others, then we're certainly not taking time to pray for others. It's amazing how easy we lose sight of the greatest commandment, which says, where Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. But if you were to ask a well-meaning person whether or not they love their family, love their friends, love God, they would say, yes, of course I love them. Of course I do. And if we love God and we love people, how can we skip prayer so easily? And it's because oftentimes, we don't believe that prayer changes anything. Have you ever felt like your prayers for others really don't make much of a difference? I mean, I'll be honest, I have sometimes. I think it's normal to wonder that from time to time. Like, man, are my prayers really making a difference? Do my prayers change anything? And if we're going to ask that question of whether or not prayer changes anything, then we also have to talk about unanswered prayers. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we think prayer doesn't change anything. I mean, it's true. God answers some prayers, and some prayers God doesn't answer. which could lead some of us to believe that unanswered prayers, answered prayers, just a coincidence. Well, you know, when God answers your prayers, it's really just a coincidence because God doesn't really answer prayer. You know, when you pray about something and it happens to come true, then hey, that's just a coincidence because how else could you explain that God only answers some of our prayers? You know, and I have to confess that was me at one time. And if that's you, let me ask you this question. Do you really want God to answer all of your prayers? Do you want God to answer all of your prayers? I mean, do we know all possible outcomes? Well, no. But God does. Is there something greater that can happen as a result of my unanswered prayer that I'm just not aware of? Do you remember the picture that I put up the first week of our series? It's a picture of Jesus talking to a little girl, and they're both holding teddy bears. Sometimes what we're praying for is the small teddy bear, but God wants us to have the bigger one. Would you rather receive a small blessing or a bigger blessing? Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because he wants to bless us bigger than what we are asking. And one of our church members last week, we were sitting in the foyer talking, and she reminded me of a song that fits very perfectly with what we're talking about. It's a song called Unanswered Prayers that was recorded by Garth Brooks, and I would just like to share some of those lyrics with you this morning. It says, just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish I'd wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. It's really tempting to burst into song right now. Oh, she wasn't quite the angel that I'd remembered in my dreams, and I could tell that time had changed me, and in her eyes too it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And as she walked away, I looked at my wife, and then and there I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Unanswered prayers go unanswered for a purpose. Maybe the job that you prayed for your family member to get that they didn't get was because they're was someone who needed that job more. They've got kids at home that are suffering because they're going without, and God was answering their prayer instead of yours. To get personal just for a moment, I prayed for 15 months. That sounds like such a short time, but at the same time, a very long time. I prayed for 15 months that God would take me to the right church, and I wanted him to answer my prayer right away. I'm like, God, I would like to find a church like right now. I want to serve you. You want me to serve you, right? I mean, couldn't you answer this prayer? And I waited 15 months, but I am so glad that he waited because God's timing is always perfect, and I'm very glad that I ended up where I am. Well, but we can never tell what God is working behind the scenes. God may not be answering your prayer because he's got something better in store, because he wants to bless you more than what he currently is. Or maybe there's someone else's need that he's currently meeting, and answering your prayer would keep him from being able to answer someone else's prayer. And who knows? He may yet answer your prayer. We never can tell because he is God and we are not. He may not always answer, but he always hears and is always delighted to hear. And if you are struggling with this idea that prayer doesn't change anything or your prayers don't make much of a difference, let me tell you today that prayer does change things. Prayer does make a difference because prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. And the mistake that we sometimes make is we forget where prayer comes from, where prayer gets its source from. We think that because we're the ones that are praying, that prayer gets its source from us. But don't be fooled, my friends. We are not the source of prayer. God is. I mean, who was the one that invented the concept in the first place? God. Who initiates prayer? It's not us. It's God. Romans 8 says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." Have you ever suddenly had the urge to pray? Have you ever suddenly thought, "Oh, hey, I need to pray about that right now"? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit within you initiating prayer. The Holy Spirit acts like an emergency prayer system. Now, I don't know about some of the younger people in our audience today, but for some, you know, maybe my generation on older, remember a time when, you know, public television, like all of a sudden the screen changes colors and you hear this really annoying beeping sound and a voice comes on, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The Holy Spirit prompts us to pray. And he interrupts our normally scheduled programming to be like, "Hey, you need to pray right now." And when we can't find the words, he intercedes for us. Because the Holy Spirit is awesome. Prayer is powerful because prayer derives its power from God, who is all-powerful. Max Lucado says that the power is not in the prayer, it's in the one who hears it. And if you still don't believe that prayer doesn't change anything, let me share with you a couple of times when it did. 2 Kings chapter 19 gives us the account of when Assyria was besieged under the leadership of their king Sennacherib. That's a fun word to say, Sennacherib. Sennacherib sent threatening messages to King Hezekiah of Judah, telling him of all the horrible things that he intended to do. He tells Hezekiah, "I'm going to completely destroy you. Your God will not be able to save you. Have any of the gods from among your neighbors saved them? I have even conquered and destroyed your neighbors, your brothers, the Israelites." And in response, Hezekiah went to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem and he prayed. And just a little snippet of his prayer reads like this. He said, "Now, O Lord our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, are God." He prayed a prayer of intercession for the people of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that that night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. And Sennacherib woke up, he comes out of his tent, and all he sees is fields of dead bodies. And he fled back to Assyria with his tail tucked between his legs. Prayer is powerful, but don't take my word for it. Don't take Hezekiah's word for it. How often do you hear a preacher say, "Don't even take the Bible's word for it"? Take Sennacherib's word. On the screen behind me is a picture of Sennacherib's prison, which was discovered right around 1830 in the ruins of Nineveh, the Assyrian capital. Just on a side note, if anybody ever asks you what the capital of Assyria is, always answer Nineveh. There are a few people who get that reference. On this prism, Sennacherib documented all of his exploits in battle. He mentions how he destroyed this nation, how he destroyed that nation, how he besieged this city or besieged that city. And always following the documentation of besieging a city comes, he either captured it or he destroyed it completely. Every city, every time he would besiege the city, it would either be captured or destroyed. Every time. Except for once. Jerusalem. On this prism, Sennacherib documents the siege of Jerusalem, and he puts in a little flowery details to kind of puff himself up a little bit, but he never mentions the city's surrender like he did other cities. Never mentions its capture, never mentions its destruction, and it's because the Lord answered Hezekiah's prayer in a powerful way. Also kind of shows us that, hey, when the Bible tells us something, it's true, because archaeology backs it up. How about the time when King Herod Agrippa had James the Apostle killed and Peter put in prison? And when this happened, what the church did is they gathered together in one place and they rallied and they prayed nonstop for Peter. They prayed a prayer for intercession for Peter. And while he was chained between two guards with four other guards around him, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared. And his chains just fell off. They then proceed to walk out of the prison, passing this guard, passing that guard, passing this group of guards. None of them do anything to stop Peter from leaving. They then walk up to the prison gates. The prison gates open by themselves and let Peter and the angel out. And it wasn't until they had walked down the street just a little ways that Peter even realized what was happening. He thought he was having a vision, and the angel just suddenly leaves, and he's like, whoa. That was real. Peter then, you know, it's like, well, what am I going to do? So he goes to the house where all the believers, where the church had gathered to pray. He knocks on the door. They open it. They had still been in prayer. They were still praying for Peter. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. And I think I'm preaching to the choir at this point, but let me give you one more example of the power of prayer, and this one is from my personal life. I was a brand new Christian. I'd only been a Christian for maybe a couple months at the time, and I was hanging out with a friend. I was a college student at the time, and so, you know, we were driving around, didn't have anything to do. I mean, what do college students do when they just drive around. So we're just driving around, and they received a phone call from another one of their friends telling them that the mom of that friend, something crazy had happened, and they were in an ambulance on the way to the hospital, and they were thinking that she might not make it through the night. So we immediately changed course, drove to the hospital, and I don't know if this is normal protocol for a hospital or not, but because my friend had, like, she had an in with the family, she was close to the family, they're just like, hey, you can come on in, but your friend can't. And so they let her in, but they wouldn't let me in. And so I just said, you know what, that's fine. I'm just going to go hang out in the chapel. So I went to the chapel, and, you know, I just started praying. I'm like, God, please heal this lady. I've never met her, but God, please give her healing. And so I walked around the chapel for a while and prayed. I sat down in one spot and prayed. I got up and went to another spot and sat down. At one point, I kneeled, like at the very front where the altar would be, and prayed. And after about an hour, maybe a little bit more than an hour, my friend comes and finds me. And she just got this total look of shock and awe on her face. And I'm like, well, what's going on? She's like, there's nothing wrong with her. And I'm like, what do you mean there's nothing wrong with her? They're like, I mean, we thought she was going to die. And she's like, not only is she not going to die, Keith, but the doctors can't figure out why she was ever here in the first place. This woman that I had never met, who I prayed for an hour in the chapel, was completely and totally healed. And I don't want to puff myself up like I'm this super Christian or anything, that because of my prayers alone that God healed this lady, but prayer is powerful. And I'm just humbled that I got to be a part of that process. E.M. Bounds said, prayer can do anything that God can do. And that's true because the only power in prayer is the power of God. What's more, prayer can reach anywhere that God can reach. And God is everywhere. So His power can reach to every single corner of the earth through our prayers. And the reason it's so important for us to know that prayer is powerful is because God desires to change the world through our prayers. Prayer can do amazing things in our world. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. God desires to heal our world. and do it through our prayers. God seeks intercessors not because he lacks wisdom or because he lacks the power to govern the world without our prayers, but in his good pleasure, God has chosen to govern the world through the prayers of his people. Things will happen when we pray that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't. And things will not happen if we do not pray that would have happened if we had. Imagine African villages with plentiful supplies of fresh, clean water because of our prayers. Imagine people being freed from human trafficking because of our prayers. Imagine the division in our nation coming to an end because of our prayers. Imagine families restored because of our prayers. Imagine people coming to Christ because of our prayers. And imagine what your life could be like because of prayer. Prayer is powerful. And God desires to change the world through our prayers. In the ongoing work of God, intercessory prayer is of prime importance. And that word intercessory, intercessor, it's a fancy word that means doing something on behalf of someone else. Praying on behalf of others is of prime importance. People desperately need our prayers. Many people are hurting. Many families are dysfunctional. Many churches are stagnated. Many neighbors are living lonely, isolated lives. The majority of people in North America do not have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they need far more than what we are able to give them. They need what only God can give. People need our prayers. Because people need God. And I mentioned earlier, I said that if you were to ask a well-meaning person whether or not they love their family, whether or not they love their friends, whether or not they love God, that they would say, yes, of course I love them. Of course I do. If you claim to love people, then you will pray for them. Look at Jesus' teaching on prayer in Luke chapter 11, where he says, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night. My family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I will tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Did you notice how much this friend cares for his friend? He cares enough for his needs that he's willing to infringe upon his neighbor to care for his friend. And Jesus isn't saying that we should be annoying or obnoxious with our prayers or that we should do exactly what this man did in his prayers. But what he is trying to get across here is that we should care enough to do whatever it takes to bring our prayers before the Father. We know who's got the bread. And if our friend is without, we should connect them with the one who's got the bread. Because Jesus is the bread of life. We need to be praying for people to receive the bread of life. And if you claim to love people, you will pray for them. But what's at stake if we don't? What's at stake if we don't pray for others? Nothing will ever change for the better if we don't. Remember, God desires to change the world through our prayers. And if we're not praying, change doesn't come. Maybe you want to pray for others with power, but you just don't know where to start. Well, we gave you guys some really awesome prayer books. On page 104 in your prayer book is this little guide. It gives you several options on, hey, how do I pray for others? It gives you several options in that book. If you don't have one, I think we still have a few at our Connection Center. And if you don't get one and we run out, we can always order more. Remember that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in prayer and helps us to pray. And I really don't think the how is as important. The how is important, but it's not as important as just having the willingness to be obedient to pray in the first place. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. God desires to change the world through our prayers. And if we claim to love people, then we will pray for them because nothing will change for the better if we don't. To illustrate this, before we close, let me just share a paragraph from that book that we keep talking about, that Love to Pray book. The author says, and the cool thing is, if you're staying up and you're reading, you'll read about this later in the week. He says, when believers begin to pray seriously for their neighbors, things begin to happen. When members of a church in Bakersfield, California, planted several lighthouses of prayer in an apartment complex to pray for those who lived there, the manager became a Christian. Drug dealers moved out, crime rates went down, many tenants started going to church, several Bible studies were started, and 10 people made commitments to Christ. The difference was so evident that the police, when they discovered the reason for the changes, asked the church to consider planting similar lighthouses in other apartment complexes. What do you think God wants to see happen in the lives of the people around you? Are you willing to be the one to intercede so that God will accomplish His will in your neighborhood through your prayers? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Because when we turn from our sin and when we pray in faith and trust, prayer is powerful. And as we go into our time of invitation this morning, we're going to do something very similar to what we did last week. And our elders, if you could come forward at this time. I apologize because I don't feel like I explained very well what we wanted you guys to do last week. And so I hope I explain it better this morning. Last week I asked you to fill out a prayer card with a request and to come forward and pin it to our prayer wall. And I think we got a pretty good response. We had 45 prayer cards on the wall. We prayed over them in our prayer meeting last week, which made our prayer meeting take longer than what it normally does. And our staff prayed about them and prayed through them during the week as well. I found it super encouraging. If you've noticed, the prayer cards are back on the wall, but they're face down this time. And what I would like for you to do at this time, we're going to have some music playing. What I encourage everyone to do is to come forward, take a card off of the wall, take it back to your seat, and pray over it at your seat. And then keep it. Take it with you as you leave today and pray over that prayer request for the remainder of our series. We've got 4 more weeks. That's 4 weeks that you can spend praying over that request. And if you didn't post a request last week, that's okay. But if you would like to, if you feel moved to today, please feel free to fill out a prayer card and post it on the wall. As a matter of fact, the prayer wall will be up for the remainder of our series for you to use. So please continue. Like all of a sudden, oh man, I could use some prayer over this. Fill out a card, put it on the wall. And also, if the Spirit leads you, please continue after this week to take cards from the wall and pray over them. And this time is a normal time of invitation as well. And so if you just need prayer, it's just like, I just want someone to pray with me. Please come forward and pray with one of our elders. And if everything that I just said, if that's something that you don't want to participate in, that's okay as well. But I encourage you to spend that time just meditating and praying at your seat, maybe kind of reading the words on the screen and meditating over those. I only ask, please don't leave until we officially dismiss. I'd like this to be a time of meditation and prayer, and I'm afraid the commotion of people leaving and talking in the foyer will be distracting to others. And so here in just a moment, we'll begin. Let me pray, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that you want to do a mighty work in this world. We thank you that you have invited us to be a part of that. It is so humbling thinking that the God who created the entire universe wants to use us and our prayers to change the world. And so, God, it is just my prayer that we would do that. And that we could see mighty things happening in this community, amongst our church, in this town, in the surrounding communities, because we stopped and prayed. And because we made it a priority to pray for the people who desperately need you. And let it be, God, in such a way that you move, in such a way that when we see it, that we cannot claim that it was anything else but you. To you be the glory forever and ever. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.